let me read a bit of scripture. If you've got your Bibles, could you turn to 2 Timothy, second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, and verses 1 to 14. 2 Timothy 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I've been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we're together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he's made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Let's pray as we think about that word. Lord God, you've given us your living word. And we pray now that you would speak to us through it. Challenge us, Lord. Speak into our hearts and our lives. And help us to hear. Help us be willing to listen for what you've got to say. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a confession to make. We all love confessions, don't we? As long as you're hearing them rather than giving them. My confession is that I have a bit of a fascination with something that is a bit dangerous. And it's a fascination that I suspect quite a number of you will share with me. It has to do with fire. Who has a bit of a fascination with fire here? Anyone? Am I really the only one? I don't believe it for a second. Frank's nodding his head. I'm not talking about setting fire to things and claiming on the insurance. Okay, that would be wrong. That would not be a good fundraising approach. Although I have been in some churches where the thought has occurred, I've got to confess. But let's not try that, shall we? What I mean is simply the look of fire, and the power of it, and the changing shapes and colours. Just click once for me. There we go. The crackling and the glow and the shimmer and the changing colours. Do you know what I mean? Do you like that? I can remember when I was a boy, we had a fireplace in our living room, built like this, and although we had storage heaters in the rest of the house, they weren't really very good. So on winter evenings, I would end up just lying on the floor in front of the fire, keeping warm, but just gazing at the flames and occasionally poking sticks into it and things. Or if you have a bonfire or a camping fire, if you do real camping for men, and you stand around it and feel the heat radiating off it, and watch the sparks flying up into the sky. I've always loved that. Awesome. Just watching that power and light and heat. It's just like raw energy. Absolutely beautiful. Anyone share that destructive fascination with me? Oh, yes. Yeah, you're beginning to admit it now. Okay. Coming out of the closet. So I wanted to have a really big fire here in church this morning, but apparently that's dangerous. So, and the smoke alarms would have gone off, and would have got in trouble with the centre management and so on. So instead, I can make use of the fire stand. We've got a candle. It's not quite the same as a really big bonfire, so you'll just have to use your imaginations. I have got a little blowtorch to light it with. Okay. Hey. Fabulous. But even a candle actually can be quite fascinating. You can watch the flame flickering away. When I was young, and we had a candle on the dinner table, I would poke things into the flame or drip wax onto my hand or see if I could set my napkin alight. And my dad would say, "Ian, stop playing with that flame." So now that I'm pretending to be a responsible adult and we have candles on the table, Callum will poke things into the flame and drip wax and set his napkin on fire. And I will say, "Stop playing with that flame." And then I'll do it too. And Lindsay will say, "Will you both stop playing with that flame?" But I digress. Is our insurance okay for this, Liz, do you think? Even if it's not quite as exciting as a big fire, candles can be great. We like to have them in our homes because they make us feel, relaxed and it feels sort of soothing. It's not quite that destructive power, but you can still see the flickering and watch the flame. And there's all sorts of Christian links into this, of course. Jesus in John 8 says, "I am the light of the world." And if you put a candle in a really dark room, it lights up the room. You can see the flickering of the shadows around with the light from the candle. And in Matthew 5, Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. And if you light a candle, you don't hide it away. You bring it out and put it on a stand so that it lights up the whole room, so everyone can see. You can't really tell in this room because it's all bright. But if we were to shutter up the windows and turn the lights off, you could see it lighting up the room." Lots of imagery in the Bible about this. And lots of songs too. You remember that old children's song that we occasionally sing? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." We're not gonna sing it because there's about a million verses to it. Aww. But one of the verses, is this: "Don't let Satan blow it out." No. So there's a little bit of tension there. Actually, we've got this imagery that we're lights, and that we've got to shine for other people to see our light, but we've got to protect it so that Satan doesn't blow it out. And then we get to that passage that I read earlier, which is from Paul's second letter to Timothy, where Paul tells Timothy to fan his gift into flame. So if we start fanning, we've got a bit of a problem here, because there must be something wrong. If we've got to let our light shine, but we're not to let Satan blow it out, and Paul tells us to do something which does seem to blow it out, we've got a bit of a dilemma. What do we do? Do we shine or protect? Shine or protect? And it can feel in our everyday lives that sometimes we have that tension in our work or at school or in our family. I want to shine for Jesus, but I've got to protect the light as well, because it might get blown out by the big, bad, cynical people around me. Now, the problem we've got here is with the candle. This is the wrong picture. This is not the picture that the Bible actually has, because a candle is something that needs to be protected. We need to guard it. And, as you walk around with it, you have to guard it to protect it from being blown out. And that is not the picture that Scripture has. It's not the picture that Paul had when he wrote to Timothy. Let me tell you a bit about Timothy. Timothy was living in a city called Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. And in those days, it was a huge city, a really important city. It was the third city in Roman Asia Minor, with a population of up to about 250,000. It was really significant. And you can visit Ephesus now. And Ralph, if you go on a couple of clicks, you'll see lots of buildings that are still there. There's this stadium that is literally built into the side of the hill, which seats up to 25,000 people. It's immense. There was a library. There was running water. Some of the posh houses had fountains inside. Ephesus was a really rich city. And that's for several reasons. One is that it was a crossroads for trade. And people would come from all over to buy and sell and make their fortunes. Another reason is that it was a free city. In other words, although they were part of the Roman Empire, they could make their own laws. And so people who were on the run in the rest of the empire could come and hide in Ephesus. So it was a real mix of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Another thing they had in Ephesus was this massive temple. And this is an artist's reproduction of it based on what's left. This is the Temple of Artemis, or sometimes called the Temple of Diana. It was just colossal. You might have heard of the Parthenon, in Athens. Well, the Temple of Artemis was four times the size of the Parthenon. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And people would come on pilgrimages from all over the world, all over the empire, to come and buy things and get souvenirs and even deposit money like a bank. But it wasn't just business and tourism. The temple had thousands of male and female prostitutes who worked there. So people would come and get involved in that dark and sinister world of trying to please the gods through these incredibly pagan and often occultic rituals. It was a dark place. And it's into that melting pot of paganism and riches and different cultures and all I've described that little Timothy has to let his light shine. This was not an easy place to shine. It was not a safe place to shine. In another letter that Paul wrote, this time to the church in Ephesus, the letter to the Ephesians, he talks about how, and this is the bit that Christine mentioned earlier in her prayers, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers and authorities of the unseen world. He's saying that shining for Jesus is a battle, that there's some tough fighting to be done, and we need to take it seriously. So he talks about putting on the full armor of God so that we can withstand the enemy. And you can read that for yourselves later in Ephesians 6. This was a tough place to let your light shine and not let Satan blow it out. But Paul was concerned that Timothy had a candle view of what it means to let the Spirit of God be a light in us. And this is something that can apply to many of us. When we go into our workplaces and our homes and our schools, it's so easy to think, I'm going into a world that is really challenging for my candlelight to shine in. Might be some of the practices at work. Might be some of the language used. It might be what's happening morally. You might be watching the TV or surfing the net, and what's being presented again and again and again comes across as normal. This is normal. But this is not the truth that Jesus defines. We're having to shine, and we're saying it is so hard for us to stand up for Jesus in this dark world, and we need to protect it. Fanning the flame is going to blow it out. But Paul is saying to Timothy, I need you to understand something. I need you to understand that the fire of God within you is not a flickering candle that needs to be sheltered and protected, that gives a little bit of light and heat, but it needs to be protected against this big dark world that we're in. What you have within you is the fire of the Spirit. And when you fan the fire of the Spirit, it doesn't go out. It gets bigger and bigger. And when it gets bigger, it starts really breaking in to this dark world. When it gets bigger, it begins to blaze for God. When it gets bigger, the darkness actually begins to run away from it. We don't have a little light that we need to protect. We have the fire of the Holy Spirit, who has the power to blaze in our communities and our families and our relationships and our workplaces to change things dramatically. So fan it into flame. Get it bigger. This is a power that can change things. And if we were a black church, you'd all be saying, amen! But we're Scottish, so we say, So sometimes we get really tied up in knots about whether in our Christian lives or in the life of the church, the focus needs to be on our getting more involved and engaged, or whether it should be on letting God do things. And there's truth in both of those. But if you struggle with that tension, if you've ever wondered what your role is in becoming more effective as a follower of Jesus, then this is a great verse in 2 Timothy 1. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you, Paul says. It's clearly requiring us to get engaged with that. But he also acknowledges that it's the flame of God that makes a difference. And I believe that this verse has got something very powerful to say to us. God wants to see us blazing in our worship. God wants to see us blazing in the way we serve our community. God wants to see us blazing in the way that we love one another. God wants to see us blazing in the way that we give. God wants to see us blazing in the way that we stand up for him. God wants to do incredible things. And it's God that's going to do those things. But he says you need to fan into flame. If you want to see more of God in your life, in your small group, in your family, in Alpha, in our church, you need to fan the fire into flame. Because God is really keen to do something. Just have a look at the next verse. In verse 6, Paul has told Timothy to fan his gift into flame. But in verse 7, he unpacks that a little bit. He says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." It's so easy for us to feel overwhelmed by what the world is throwing against us. Just like for Timothy, this young man who's been trained by Paul. And remember, Paul, you know, is kind of the ultimate superhero Christian. He's seasoned, mature church planter. He's planted most of the churches in the known world at this point. He's had visions of Jesus. He's performed miracles, all the rest of it. And he takes Timothy and puts him in place in Ephesus. And you can imagine Timothy saying, "Don't leave me here. You stay. You could do this." And Paul says to him, "God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity." Just like what we all feel sometimes. It's fine in here when we're all together. But then we go out back to our schools and our homes and our workplaces and whatever, and we're alone. And we think, "I can't do this. I wish there was someone else here with me to blaze. I'm just like a little candle." But God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. The Greek word that Paul uses there is the word dunamos. Dunamos meaning power, strength, might. Just the opposite of timidity. Now that word dunamos is used all through the New Testament. Actually, there's over 100 times when it's used. And there's a word in English. There are several words in English that we get from it. Anyone tell me any of the words that we get from that? Dynamic. Thank you. Very good. Any others? Dynamite. Fabulous. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of dynamite. fan that one into flame. Now, doesn't that change things a little bit? You're thinking, surely fanning dynamite into flame is not actually such a clever idea. Why isn't it clever? Well, because it's going to explode and do all sorts of massive things. And God is saying, yeah, that's the point. See, this candle is not God's plan. God's plan is dynamite, impacting our homes, impacting our workplaces, impacting our relationships. And how do we, how we do things? Fan into flame the Spirit of God, the Spirit of power that is within us. I said that the word dunamos, is used all through the New Testament. Jesus uses it in Acts 1 verse 8. He's about to leave the disciples and ascend back into heaven. And he tells the disciples that their mission is to go out into the rest of the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ with all people everywhere. The good news that God wants to have a relationship with them. And so he tells them to go to Jerusalem, where the power of the Holy Spirit will come on them. The dunamos of the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples go to Jerusalem, and they wait, and they pray. And then comes what day? Pentecost, thank you. And what day is it today? Pentecost, thank you. And the Holy Spirit descends on them like tongues of fire, blazing away, and they are filled with power. And they pour out onto the streets in boldness, telling everyone around them about Jesus. And 3,000 people become Christians and are baptized on that day. That's today. Today is the day that we were given a Spirit of power. Let me ask you two questions as we finish this. First question is, are you lit? Are you lit? If this fire isn't lit, then, you know, I can blow on it as much as I like, but it's never going, it's never going to fan into flame if it's not lit in the first place. Even a big fire. And that starts getting lit with you committing your life to Jesus Christ, because that's what it takes to get the Spirit of God living in you. That is a promise for every Christian in the Bible. Starts there. Without that, you're not lit. Starts with you saying, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life, be the leader of my life. And when we do that, the Bible promises that God will send us the Holy Spirit. It's not a blazing fire that rips us to pieces. It's the presence of God living in within us. And some of you are wondering, is that fire still lit? Some of you maybe used to blaze brightly, but now that fire has faded quite a lot. Because that's what fire does if it's just left alone. It tends to die down. You're wondering if there still is fire. Because of circumstances, because of decisions that you've made, because of a whole load of different things. You're wondering, is that fire still lit? And the good news of Jesus Christ is that we don't have to live in fear and doubt. You can know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life today, guaranteed, by just saying, Jesus, I need you. Are you lit? The second thing is, are you ready to blaze? Those of you who are into building bonfires will know that sometimes you build a fire and put a match to it and it just goes whoosh, and in 15 minutes you've got a big blazing fire. Other times, you put a match to it and the match goes out. And you put another match to it and that match goes out. And you go through a whole box of matches trying to get this fire started. Well, let me point something out. The difference is not in the fire. The difference is in the wood. It's not that the Holy Spirit sometimes says, nah, I don't think I want to do anything today. It's that the wood is damp. Or that it's badly laid. Or that it's covered with other things. Can't get any air to it. There are some bits to our life that just seem to resist fire. Those bits are choices that we are continuing to make. Some of the relationships that we're in. Some of it is because in our heart we're still holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness. If you're going, Father, forgive me, but I ain't forgiving that person, that will stop the Spirit blazing in your life. There are things in your life that you need to look at and think, is this a fire starter or is it a fire dampener? Sometimes the wood doesn't burn because it's just too tightly packed. Sometimes we make our lives so tightly packed with stuff, rushing from this to that to the next thing. And God says, look, I just haven't got any room to get in. Sometimes you need to come along on a Sunday morning and say, okay, God, this is time for you. But Sunday is the only day I've got left for... You've got to make time for God. I am really excited by what God is going to do with us. And to be honest, I'm nervous about what God is going to do with us. Because dynamite is dangerous stuff, isn't it? But that's what we're dealing with. If you're looking for God to do amazing things in your life, in this church, in this community, if you have the vision for that, fantastic. If you don't, if you're thinking, yeah, but I'm more of a candle, remember, God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Let that fire be released and see what God can do, because I guarantee it will be awesome if you do. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to see that. We want to see the awesome fire of God, not contained in a little candle, but bursting out, spreading, consuming, making a difference in this town, this town that belongs to you, Lord God. Father, we want to fan the gift of your Spirit into flame in our lives. Stir us up. Blaze in us, because we want to be a part of this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.